Hi, this is Paul Jendrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by Mark Sellers. Mark's part of Hopcat, Grand Rapids Brewing Company, Stella's Lounge, McFadden's, and Viceroy. Also joined by Jason Spaulding of Brewery Vivant, and joined by Tom Slider. Tom's a longtime friend of mine. He's out in Portland, Oregon. He's a brewmaster at Old Market Pub, and we're going to be chatting about beer today. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Doing well.
Fantastic. I guess I'd like to start out, if you could each tell me a little bit about what each of the places that you are at, what they offer when folks come through the door.
Sure.
Jason?
I could start.
Okay.
Brewery Vivant has been open for about a year and a half. We're in a little neighborhood here in Grand Rapids, just about like a mile and a half from the downtown. And this is a... It's a project that's owned by myself and my wife. So her and I run it together, mm-hmm. and we specialize in Belgian and French-inspired beers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a strong sustainability focus. We also can our beers versus bottling. We operate a nice little pub that's got, you know, the best way to describe it is like a French country menu. We've got things like a lot of people come in expecting, you know, typical pub fare, but we do things like pâtés and duck confit, things like that. So we kind of surprise people with the menu a little bit, but it's got a nice neighborhood draw, and we have a lot of our employees and patrons that can walk there.
Sure. Tom?
I am a brewer for a small brew pub in Portland, Oregon. It's in the southwest suburbs, and in Portland, which is brew pub mecca, United States, not the world. We almost fly under the radar a bit, but we've been here a long time.
Okay.
I always have about 12 beers on style, and the great thing about my job is the owner gives me autonomy to brew whatever I like, and I've been drawn in the last couple of years to the newly renewed genre of sour beers and lambics. Right now, as we're speaking, and I apologize for that hissing noise a couple minutes ago. I'm actually kegging off a batch that has to be sent to the brew fest here in a few minutes. I'm
worries.
Doing a creek. It's a sort of a cherry sour beer that's typical of Belgium.
Okay.
I'm thirsty all of a sudden.
And Mark?
Yeah, so I own several bars in Grand Rapids. My my wife and I opened Hopcat about 5 years ago. That was our first place, and it's a beer bar that has 48 craft beers on tap. We only have microbrews and some imports, some Belgian and German imports. We don't have any of the big three Bud Miller Coors served. We have upscale kind of comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
We like to say it's food your mother would serve you if she liked beer. and we've been doing quite well. Hopcat did so well, we opened a couple of other places in town. And the newest one that we'll be opening later this year is called the Grand Rapids Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also going to be in downtown.
Right on Ionia.
Yeah, right next to the arena.
Sure. So what was it that attracted each of you to brewing or the brewery business?
Well, I don't brew. I am I'm a craft beer fanatic,
mm-hmm.
but I don't actually brew myself.
Sure.
So, this is Mark again from Hopcat.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived in Chicago, and someone turned me on to Sierra Nevada sometime in like 2002 or something. And I said, well, if this is out there, what else is out there? And I started to just look around for other beers, and there wasn't much available at that time. I mean, 10 years ago, the craft beer scene was a veritable wasteland compared to what it is now.
Yeah, it's changed in a big way.
Blown up. But, you know, you just kind of start to expand your palate over time, and you become kind of, some people have their different hobbies. My hobby is sampling new craft beers.
Mm-hmm. How about yourself, Jason?
I used to own another brewery in Holland called New Holland Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And, me and another friend of mine started that when we were pretty young, just out of college. And there really weren't any breweries in Michigan to speak of. I mean, there were a few. There's Bell's, and then really that was about it. And we got that going, and found some success, and I think it took the craft beer world a little bit to catch up with where it was back in, you know, mid to late 1990s. But I always had this passion for Belgian style beers, and saw an opportunity to just venture out on my own, mm-hmm. And got married in that time, and my wife and I spent a lot of time planning this, and you know, pretty much our life is, you know, a passion around beer, and
sure.
I think a lot of the breweries that I see doing well, you know, that's where it begins. It's not so much a
mm-hmm.
People don't get into it. People get into it for the right reasons, but if you're passionate about the beer, tend to be the beers that I enjoy the most,
mm-hmm.
and I think that kind of comes through in what we're trying to do.
Sure, sure. And how about yourself, Tom?
Well, I've always been drawn to good craft beer. It was a hobby of mine for several years, and it brings together a lot of the things that, you know, I love about life.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity and really good people and music and food. And you know, the brewing culture, there's a lot of us who have similar personalities, and we love to make the beer, and we love the craft of the beer, and we love when people come together and enjoy the beer. So I moved out to Portland in 2002
mm-hmm.
from Grand Rapids, in part to pursue a career in the craft brewing industry. And I'm really happy to see that Grand Rapids is making leaps and bounds, and not just the brewing culture, but you know, culture in general.
Mm-hmm.
When I left there, Grand Rapids didn't have nearly as much to offer as it does now. And I got to say, when I was back there just a few months ago to visit family, I did finally make it to Brewery Vivant.
Mm-hmm.
My third try, because it was so busy the first two tries.
That's a good problem to have, right, Jason?
Yeah, we don't mind. We're glad you made it, though.
It was good stuff, so kudos to you.
Good, thank you. You'll have to let me know next time you're in town.
Now, Mark, there were a few in the brew scene before Hopcat opened its doors in Grand Rapids. What did you see going on that led you to believe that it was a great direction to go in?
I moved to Grand Rapids from Chicago about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and there a lease came available right downtown, right next to the arena.
That used to be the Sierra Room.
Yeah, and it was mm-hmm. a great location. Anyone who knows downtown Grand Rapids mm-hmm. Is familiar with that location. And I just thought that would be a great place to start a bar.
Sure.
And my wife patted me on the head and said, "Ha, that's funny. You know, what do you know about starting a bar?" And I knew a lot about business because I'd had a previous career in business
mm-hmm.
That I was semi-retired from, and just wanted to do something fun, just
mm-hmm.
for fun,
mm-hmm.
just as a hobby. And that's why I started Hopcat. I just started it as a bar that I would want to go to myself as a
sure.
customer. I didn't do it because I thought the demographics were right in that area, or just some kind of market research.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about what other people would want.
Sure.
I only did it for me.
Sure.
And so I didn't compromise on certain things, like we don't have Bud Miller Coors.
Okay.
We didn't allow smoking in the place, even though
sure.
smoking was allowed in Michigan at that time.
Right.
So I basically started for myself, and I truly believe that those are the best types of businesses,
mm-hmm.
not just breweries and bars, but
mm-hmm.
all types of businesses when the owners are also the customers.
Sure, sure. Now, Jason, you were with New Holland, as you mentioned. What made you decide to come to Grand Rapids and set up shop?
I guess I'd always looked at Grand Rapids as being kind of underserved with craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the size of town that it is and the culture that's here, there weren't really that many breweries. And when you travel to towns like Portland,
mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, is one of my favorite cities. You know, there are they can support a lot of breweries, and it's really, you know, the more that open, it just seems to add to that culture of beer, and I just love that. And so when we started looking around, you know, it Grand Rapids is just in the back of our mind as a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think the city was still thirsty for beer, and you know, there's some great breweries that were here already, but you know, we're trying to do something a little bit different.
Sure.
So we're not just replicating what everyone else is doing. And I just think it ended up being a nice fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's done very, very well for you. And it's a very cool, unique location. What was it in a past life?
So it used to be, it was a historic funeral home.
Okay.
It was the biggest funeral home in Grand Rapids from about 1915 to about 1980.
Okay.
And but it's got the historic beams are still there. You know, we were able to restore all the original lights and things like that. But you know, the biggest thing when you walk in there, it's got a big archway that looks like a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic kind of Belgian archway, and you know, it fit our theme to a T. And when we walked in there, I got pretty excited about it. And I probably showed my cards to the real estate people a little too quickly that it was going to fit my plan exactly. And we jumped all over it.
Okay.
I have a feeling the price probably went up when they saw my reaction, but that's all right. It all came together.
I think you're doing okay. It's always crowded.
And what was the process like to transform it?
Well, it was a challenge because being historic, we had to, you know, follow the guidelines to historic building. But at the same time, we were trying to also do the LEED certification. And those two things together made a pretty big challenge to restore. And like, for example, the we had these big bay windows that we had to restore with wood windows because mm-hmm. aluminum obviously wasn't around in 1915.
Right.
So we had to be historically accurate, but you know, we don't get the efficiencies out of those windows that we could, you know, so from a LEED perspective, it might have been better to use different materials, but we had to conform to all those things together. But that just meant for our, you know, LEED certification that we had to make that up in other areas to make up for maybe that lack of efficiency on that side. And in the end, you know, we are a historic building and we were able to get a LEED silver mm-hmm. certification. And we found out when we're all done, we're actually the first microbrewery in the country to be LEED certified.
Great.
Which is, I skipped over, but leadership and energy and efficiency design.
Right.